Listen carefully to God's word. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maid servants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. May God add his blessing to this, the reading and hearing of his own holy and infallible word. Amen. I'm sure that there are those who think that this is an area where only a fool would rush into. But part of the obligation and the challenge of being a preacher is that I'm not one who can just select text to suit me. But I must preach the full counsel of God. That sounds ominous, but I trust it won't be that bad. Let's look and see what Proverbs chapter 31, beginning with verse 10, says. The theme verse is this: who can find a virtuous woman? There is an old song from a bygone era that had these words: a good man is hard to find. Proverbs 31:10, the verse that we just read, changes the gender of that song and then puts it in the form of a question when it says, who can find a good woman? You see, the word that's translated wife in Proverbs 31:10 is actually the general word for woman, and not just wife. The context tells us it's wife, but the word itself means woman. Who can find a good woman? Proverbs 31 is about women. Beginning in verse 10, going all the way through verse 31, 22 verses, there is what is called an acrostic of the perfect woman. An acrostic is taking each letter of the alphabet. In this case, the Hebrew alphabet of 22 letters, and each letter specifies a certain characteristic that should characterize the ideal woman. God's idea of the ideal woman. Who wrote it? We don't know. Maybe the person who wrote it was expressed in verse 1 of chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Maybe King Lemuel's mother was watching out for him and she knew he was about ready to take the leap. And so he said, "This is the kind of woman that you want to find." And so she outlined a poem, as it were. Anyway, the book of Proverbs is actually addressed primarily to men and to boys. In many ways, it is a book especially written for young people. On the other hand, it may be a book especially addressed to businessmen. It covers almost every area of morality and ethical practice in life. When I first became a Christian, somebody gave me a little book of Proverbs that I could carry around in my pocket, and I used to read and saturate my mind and thoughts in Proverbs. And I would recommend you young folks to take that step too. I said it's primarily addressed to men and to boys, but it's interesting that it closes by addressing women and girls in chapter 31. Mother's Day seemed appropriate to talk about women, the perfect woman. Perhaps I should have titled this sermon, "The Godly Woman," instead of "The Perfect Woman." But we're going to see that the perfect woman is first a godly woman. It's impossible to cover all the 22 characteristics that Lemuel's mother talks about here. And so we're going to focus on just three characteristics of the perfect woman. And then we're going to conclude with a question. How can you, dear ladies, how can you maintain your beauty forever? These first verses in Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, are an introduction to the entire subject. Verses 10 through 12, the entire chapter, but especially these first three verses, approach the subject of the perfect woman in two ways. One, it answers the question, what she is. What is the perfect woman? What is her main characteristic? And secondly, what does she do? What does the perfect woman do? There was an old missionary named Sadie Custer. It sounds more like a person you would expect to see come riding up in a saddle with a six gun on her side. Sadie Custer was an old missionary, godly woman with overseas missionary fellowship. And reading this chapter reminded me of a statement Sadie Custer made many years ago. She said this, I never fear anything except not being in the will of God. I never fear anything except not being in the will of God. This chapter, I think, in many ways can be summarized with that statement from this godly missionary. Well, let's consider, firstly, the perfect woman is a godly woman. What she is, it says specifically in verse 10, the first part, who can find a virtuous wife? Are a virtuous woman. The word virtuous does not mean virgin. It means strong. It means strength. It means force. It means power. Who can find a strong woman? Look in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, the same was said. Listen, I'll read it. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are, this is Boaz talking about Ruth, know that you are a virtuous woman, that you are a strong woman, that you are a powerful woman. The idea is one of moral excellence, because to be powerful is to be a woman of valor, is to be a woman of virtue. I have in counseling many, many times talked to people who have all kinds of anxieties and fears. And I want you to know that one of the things that I look for always with a person whose fear and anxiety is extraordinary is I try to find out if there's some immorality in their life, because immoral people are nervous people. But a virtuous woman is a strong and a powerful woman. The similar thought is expressed in verse 25. Look down in Proverbs 31. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength. The word there means stout. Now, I'm not going to call any woman stout. But that is what the word means, that she is, right, stout. That is, she is a strong woman, and honor means that she is magnificent or that she is beautiful. What does she clothe herself with? Look down in verse 22. It doesn't mean that she looks like one who just stepped out of the pages of Cosmopolitan magazine. But it does mean this in verse 22b, her clothing is fine linen and purple. Maybe she doesn't have much, but what she has is good. Jesus Christ only had one robe, but men bartered over it for his garment because it was valuable. Wasn't much, but it was quality. I said she doesn't have to look like she stepped out of the pages of Cosmopolitan. Her clothing, Proverbs tells us, is not clothing that you would attire in the morning, but it's something else. I think this verse has a fulfillment in 1 Peter chapter 3. Just listen as I read 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What she wears and her beauty is that beauty which attracts one to her because of that inward beauty that manifests itself, whatever her outward appearance may be. Virtue means moral power. I believe there never was a time when young men or women had such a great challenge before them, because young ladies, married or not, you are living in a day and an age when the modern world mocks morality. If you are a moral person, you are the exception and not the rule in our society. And they're going to hit you through temptation, a barrage of images and of desires to conform to what everybody else is doing, because this is good. But I want to tell you, don't be fooled by the glamour of what the movies and how the movies and the media and MTV and music or whatever, how they present premarital sex. Because I want to tell you, psychologists and counselors find today that one of the main reasons couples have trouble when they finally do get married is because they've had premarital sex. To be virtuous To be virtuous is to be a woman of power. That's what God thinks. Well, what does she do? I said, that's what she is, a virtuous woman. Who can find a strong woman? But then what does she do? Look in verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I believe that that is a special quality of unselfishness addressed especially to women and in particular to wives and mothers. And I think most of us realize that mother is one of the most unselfish people in our lives. She does her husband good. The fact that she does him good means that she just doesn't pray for him in her devotion. She actively seeks his good. Did you notice that in another verse, it talks about him sitting in the gate with the elders? Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates. And I think he's known in the gates because of his wife. One reason. Because she is interested not in promoting herself, her will, her desire, or putting herself forward, but she is interested in putting him forward, in making him the leader of the home. Elizabeth Elliot, whom most of you know about, said this, "The best thing a woman can do for a man is to be a woman." I'm glad another woman said that and not a man. The best thing a woman can do for a man is to be a woman. The best thing you can do is to be a lady that forces him to be a man. Well, that's what she is. That's what she does. I am saying, firstly, that the perfect woman is a godly woman. And by perfect, I don't mean that she attains to any level of absolute perfection. But I mean that she is first conformed to God's principle and ideal. Secondly, she is a creative homemaker. In verse 13, she's a willing worker. It says she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. In the old days, actually, fine women of the court in antiquity did work with their hands. It wasn't something that was unfeminine for a woman to do. And here is a woman who works with her hand. The word means that she takes delight in. That suggests another quality or associated with it in verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. That's not just a spiritual strength. That's talking about a physical strength. I once taught a course in Proverbs at the Birmingham Seminary, and one of the young women who was not married did a paper for me, a requirement for the course. And in the paper, I thought it was interesting what she said. Unmarried woman, she said, American women are some of the most pampered women in the world. Now, I wouldn't say that. I'm quoting her, mind you. I said her body is strong. It doesn't mean that she looks like one of these bizarre figures that we see on television, these bodybuilders. You know, something has gone wrong. We happened to be flicking channels one time and Alice was in there. And she said, Dad, one of these women were flexing. She said, Dad, she has almost as many muscles as you do. I said, sweetheart, she's got a lot more muscles than I do. Oh, mercy, I would hate to meet her. I would hate for her to be my wife. I would say, yes, ma'am, what do you want me to do after I mop? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, verse 13 says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, that she is willing. A willing worker is demonstrated also in verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. It means that she is so excited about the projects that she has going on that when she comes home at night, boy, she just wants to stay up and work on her projects because she's enthusiastic. Good or bad, that's what seemingly she does. She's a creative homemaker. That's my point. Look in verse 14, the last part. She brings her food from afar. One commentator suggests that she gets food and that she is a creative cook. That she experiments. Most men, mind you, do not like too much experimentation in the kitchen. Most men like meat and potatoes and beans. And occasionally a variation from that, but not too many creative casseroles. But here, she's going to cook Japanese dishes, and she's going to cook Chinese dishes, and she's going to just be a creative homemaker. Not only that, look at verse 19. She stretches out her hands of the staff and holds the spindle. She even makes her own clothes. Now, obviously, I think we have to modernize that some. I think that probably would suggest that she is a good shopper, a wise shopper. She provides for her family, verse 15. She, look in verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. That is, she decorates her home. She decorates her home with little personal things, and that's what makes a home, isn't it? When your child does something that's extraordinary, or husband, do you showcase what they do? Do you have a place where you can put it on the mantle, no matter how strange it is, or a place on the refrigerator, in the kitchen? Do you showcase the personal things that your family members actually make? Or do you say, that's nice, and then let them go put it in the closet? We ought to make a home a personal place and showcase those things. She's an active neighbor in verse 20. I'm still talking about her being a creative homemaker. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She doesn't just sit around and watch General Hospital and as the world turns. But she's too busy out doing things for people. She is engaged in a tremendous ministry with other people. She's too busy to gossip and talk about other people because she's ministering to other people. I've shared with you 2 points. In the interest of time, I'm going to skip to the conclusion of the perfect woman. And it is this. Her beauty never fades because of her moral character. Most women want to preserve their beauty, I said earlier, as long as possible. Just look at the financial industry, millions, billions of dollars spent on cosmetic industry, on liposuction now, on plastic surgery, on the diet industry, on hair pieces, beauty parlors. I'm not against any of those things. I think they should look as good as they can within reason. I'm not complaining. But look down in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. What the writer means is that charm is fickle because you can't always be charming. And God love you, you won't always be as beautiful as you were when you were young or as you are right now. Because beauty will soon begin to fade. And if you build your life upon how people look at you and whether or not you have flattery coming to you, you're building on a shaky foundation. I like what somebody said about flattery. Flattery is like perfume. It is meant to be sniffed and never swallowed. Just listen a little bit, but then forget it. Most women want to preserve their beauty as long as possible. And here's how, verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Christian women are better looking than their counterparts. And they will always be better looking, and they even look more beautiful as the years go by. Fear the Lord. If you embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and you trust in Him as your Savior and you try to look like Him in your own personal life, and you develop and mold your character on the basis of the gospel, dear lady, you will never lose your beauty. A commentator said it isn't a girl's fault if she isn't pretty at 16, but it is her fault if she isn't beautiful at age 60. Proverbs closes with the godly woman's rewards, and quickly we'll just read those. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. But look in verse 30, her greatest praise is from the Lord when He receives you and He says, "Well done, good and faithful lady. Enter thou into the joy of thy master's rest." Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her. Her life is her greatest monument. Her family is her greatest memorial. May God sanctify you, mothers, ladies, and us as we labor together to be God's people and to offer testimony and witness to Him in the present world. If you're not a Christian, whoever you are, then I would invite you to talk with me after the service or Mr. Cooksey to give you the opportunity to become that beautiful woman, that beautiful mother, that God wants you to be, a forever beauty that will never fade. Amen.